Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Let's go ahead and look at the composite trade on this Friday morning in Kansas City. March wheat at 750 up 3, May 754 and 3 quarters up 2, July 761 and a quarter up 1 and 3 quarters, now 1 and a half. March wheat in Chicago, 710 and 3 quarters up 3, May 718 up 3 and a half, July 719 and 3 quarters up 3 and a quarter. March corn, 720 and a quarter up 3 quarters, May 704 and a quarter. Now 704 even, up a half. July, 684 and a half, down a quarter. And December, 554, down 3. March soybeans at 1468, down 6 and a quarter. May, 1445 and 3 quarters, down 6 and a half. July, 1429 and a half, down 5 and 3 quarters. And November, at 1260 and a quarter, up 3 quarters. March soybean meal, 432.90, down 190. May, 433.60, down $2. March soybean oil, 48.70, down 12. May, 48.91, down 21. April live cattle, 130.37 and a half, up 52 and a half. March feeders, 142.57 and a half, up 57 and a half. And April lean hogs at 81.60 are up 60.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
The dollar has just blown to the upside with extreme force today, blowing through the 61% Fibonacci retracement off the July highs to the September 12 lows. And it does appear that there's really nothing there between that and 84. What does it mean for commodities?
Well, I think a couple big things. We're back to, in the short term, a safe haven status. That's being sought again with that stronger dollar, better bond market, a little bit higher gold market, and weaker stock markets. So in the short term, you can call this safe haven. But I think in the bigger picture, Dave, especially in some of our conversations and our meetings about the commodity super cycle that I've been doing research on, the government PMI data from China today, along with the Great Britain data that suggests that they're going into a triple-dip recession in Great Britain, and suggesting that, if, for instance, the new orders index on the purchasing managers for China showing just barely expansion at this point in time for February, as the Central Bank of China pulls more money out of their economy, not trying to stimulate their economy any longer because of inflation and their housing market. I think when you add this together and what we're seeing in the short term and these pieces of economic data, it would help to support the idea that China's not going to be able to come out of its economic malaise as easily by itself. It really is in the hands of the United States as far as leading the world out of poor growth, and I think that's where the fourth quarter GDP figures that we saw barely above positive and the sequestration issues, all of this comes together, and I think this is where the market is very, very sensitive and very, very nimble in the short term with the headline news hitting it. And probably partially that's responsible for why we started the overnight trade in the grains higher, but then started to go lower. Now they're starting to work back out of that and seeing corn and wheat turn positive on the session.
So it seems to me then the news that we got from the Institute for Supply Management on factory activity in the U.S., which shows an increase with a reading above 50, is an expansion, and we're at 54.2. That's probably the leading piece of information we got on this dollar then at the moment.
One of the leading pieces, but I would also throw that back at the U.S. income numbers for January came out this morning, down 3.6%, mm-hmm. about a percent weaker than the trade was expecting. The consensus estimates were expecting. Those tax hikes that started at the beginning of 2013 are starting to show up, and I don't think the trade was prepared to see that big of a drop in U.S. income figures. And so you can kind of offset, I think, that ISM number with the consumer, because we always have to remember that the United States economy is made up of about 70% plus of consumption. So the ISM number is important. You're exactly right. It's a great indicator, but consumers really rule the roost when it comes to the United States.
We're 5 weeks from planting. Are we needing to buy corn acres at this point?
I don't know if we need to buy one or the other at this point. You know, I found it very interesting because I started talking to clients and subscribers last week about some private weather consultants starting to talk about a cooler March, and that may be going all the way into the middle of March. The primary consultant
right.
I work with, he's gotten back to me and said, yeah, it does look like that, and he's going to be giving me a weekend update for a springtime planting outlook. But I think what we're seeing now is how this weather is now looking going into the Delta planting and the Southern Corn Belt planting, and recognizing that our base prices are now set, and also recognizing and confirming by the March delivery process we have extremely tight old crop supplies. I think yesterday's shift by NOAA on their 30-day outlook to take away the warmer-than-normal temperatures for the Corn Belt.
They went back to neutral, right?
They went to neutral, but they kept Nebraska and Iowa cooler than normal or below normal temperatures. I think that really has some play here in the next 30 days if we can keep our export market robust.
Seems to me this means that the bull spreads are going to go into effect all the way into the summer.
Maybe, but I think you're probably due also for the new crop to start to show a little bit. I guess what I'm getting at, Dave, is if we can keep a good, robust export demand and we don't get any kind of bearish bombshell on next Friday's USDA report, I think we may be needing a little bit of extra corn and bean acres, and where maybe the one doesn't rob from the other like we've seen the last couple, 3 years. And I say that because of we're probably, in my opinion, the closest to a negative carryover in soybeans than we've been in the last decade. I think that's a fair assessment given how close we got to that level in 2004. I think it's a fair assessment given that our export sales to date now after yesterday are at 95% sales of the whole marketing year. And I think it's a fair assessment given that many of the Brazilian ports that ship beans are now at a six-week delay. And I think this is where you aren't doing an effective job of rationing. So the beans in the front end, like you say, could probably lead the November up, mm-hmm. but I think you go back to what does our corn supply look like right now? Why are we seeing this very strong basis right now in the corn market, and the fact that the corn is actually now 10 cents premium to the wheat, and I think that's because we have very tight supplies in corn as well.
So tight that there's probably a lot of aflatoxin corn sitting waiting to be blended. But if we have a late spring, it isn't going to get blended anytime soon.
No, you're exactly right. And I would say in our part of the listening area of Illinois, Indiana, and even the podcast areas going into Iowa, Missouri, and Nebraska, and Kansas, I think you're probably looking at a scenario where producers are going to sit on their corn until we get the corn planted and we see exactly how much seed, corn seed, was out there, how much of the better genetic corn seed was out there to get 96 plus million acres, because I hear more and more and more conversations from seed contacts that they're really scraping around for the high quality seed already.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just don't think, given the drought that we had last summer, that there's any high quality seed as a safety net for a second replant in any significant amount.
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, we were down on behalf of your station down near St. Louis in Belleville this week, and a fellow came up after the meeting and he said, I've got about 4,500 acres, and about 900 of that is set aside for soybeans. I didn't put gas on it last fall. I kept my fertilizer off of it. I'm ready to go harder beans because the price is 32 cents better in terms of a February base price, and my corn on corn acres were not that good, and I'm quite frankly worried about a drought being followed by a delayed planting, and I'm not going to miss my planting weather in the corn market. And I think that's where the southern guys, like the people down in Sykeston, Missouri area, the Boot Hill, Missouri, they're not going to mess around this year. They'll switch to beans very quickly. So I think your point is very well taken, especially in light of a not ideal planting situation.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us every Friday morning on the Opening Market Report. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.